Yes, we thank everybody for being here. Right now we're going to be looking at some Bible commentary, thoughts of what the book is saying. Okay, when we look at Exodus chapter 13, 14 and 15, specifically chapter 14, this is an incident with the Hebrew people. They are discouraged, they're unhappy, and we're in the wilderness for all of these years, so the boys are, you know, ready to give up. And so I'm going to read some of this to us in chapter 14, and it's specifically deals with the complaining of all the stuff that Yahweh had done for us. We still, you know, we're never happy. We always have some excuse. So, in chapter 14, it starts off with, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses." Now, this is before the Ten Commandments are given in chapter 20 in Exodus, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may turn and encamp before Pisroth, between Megiddo and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, they are entrapped in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he should follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, and the Egyptians may know that I am Elohim. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Exodus chapter 14 is verse 8. I just finished. "And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea, besides Pilophon and Baal Zephon." Now, this is interesting that we're referring here as the children of Israel left Egypt. The question usually is, okay, these are wicked Egyptians. So all Egyptians are wicked. Now the question is, wait a minute, okay, what Egyptians are we talking about? What do you guys think? Who are these Egyptians that don't know Joseph? And that's how the book of Exodus starts off, that there's a time when there's a Pharaoh that arose in Egypt that did not know Joseph. What type of Pharaoh could not know Joseph, who saved everybody from the famine for 7 years?
Someone who came from somewhere else?
What's that?
Someone who came from another country, another area?
That's the only people that would not know the history of Egypt. Colonialists, just like today. Today, the people who rule Egypt are what? Egyptian? No. They're white. They're Arabs. So just because a particular time happens, that does not mean that people did not colonize and take over. So the only people that would not have known Joseph is foreign people who call themselves Egyptians, like us today in America. We call ourselves Americans, and who are the true Americans? Where are they located?
Concentration camps.
Yep, concentration camps called reservations. Or they kicked them out and sent them to Mexico. So now they're trying to get back into the country, Mexico, by the borders and so forth. And we who are the fake Americans are keeping out the real Americans. And that's what was happening there. And so when they come here, they're like slaves. They just work at a minimum wage and minimum this and house cleaning. And so they are basically become our slaves, the people. Now, if somebody wrote history and said that there rose a president, there rose a leader in America who knew not the history of the Indians and had basically enslaved them and are calling them illegal aliens. Does that make sense?
Well, no, but it happens. Everybody's learning different parts of our culture from here. So technically, if somebody came from another place, they might even know the whole history because people have changed it so much to suit whatever they want to magnify and glorify. And just change it to be what something that's not, you know? So
that's where we have his story. Not history, his story. And that's what we get. We get the slave trade. We hear about all of this that we're conditioned to believe. We're conditioned to believe that we are the true Americans. And this is that these people from Mexico are illegal aliens. When in reality, we are the illegal aliens. And the illegal aliens are the true American. And so that's what was happening at the time of Egypt when they said that a king arose, a pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. It was very simple. The reason why they didn't know Joseph is because they were a foreign power that had ruled Egypt. And so we see these people, they're coming after these Hebrews. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Yahweh, and said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the words that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, does that sound like us today?
Yep.
There's nothing we can do?
Yep.
History repeating itself. Do we want to be free? Do we want to stay in bondage? And we, like them, say it was better to serve slave master than to be free. To be free to do nothing. Yep. And that's exactly where we find ourselves today, in a position that, I speak to people, and they tell me that there's nothing you could do. Nothing you could do about the church and their attitude about us. There's nothing you could do about history that's taught in the school system about us. And when we write our books and we publish them, get them out there, teach the true history, then they say, hey, make all these excuses of why they cannot use the book. In the church schools, you can't use the book because one guy, and you can't use them in daycares, come complain because it said that it's designed to give self-esteem to African Americans and blacks. And because it says that, we can't use it. And then this is a black, a black daycare, and they're saying they can't use it because we have one of white two students, and it might not, you know, go well with them because you're talking about self-esteem for black people. Have you ever heard of anything as idiotic as that? So we're in the same position. We said it's better to serve slave master than to try to figure it out on our own and to build a curriculum that will build self-esteem and that will change us at a young age. So that's very interesting that they would say that it's better to serve the Egyptians. And now they already saw all the signs that Yahweh did for them. And they still saying that. Does that make any sense? And how do we repeat that today?
What do you mean, repeat it?
Yeah, I mean, I asked you, are we repeating the same thing? You said yes. In what application can you see that?
Everyday life.
As an example, so people can understand clearly.
I don't know. School and work and... those kind of things.
Yeah, we work for the system. The system tells us that we're no good. And we, you know, we don't have our place on earth is not there. Like, they don't tell you that the Greeks, they say everything began with Greeks, and they didn't tell you that the Greeks went into Egypt and we copied everything, and that's how they got their literature. They went to the schools of the Egyptians, Plato and Aristotle and Pythagoras and all of them. So, yeah, so, but I remember mentioning that, and I said, how come at a historical black college we're not teaching that? Oh, man, we don't talk about that because we have white students here. Do you think that white history doesn't care about us? We're not in their white history, except as slaves. So why can't we have a history that shows what we have done and that they went and stole this stuff from Egypt? Oh, no, no, you can't say stuff like that. Like y'all are so submissive and so ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so if our children, if our young people are dying because they have no self-esteem and because they have low self-esteem, and when they look in the mirror and they see themselves, they hate themselves, so they easily shoot another black man or woman because they've been trained to hate themselves. And if they hate themselves, then when they kill somebody, they can see themselves killing themselves. And that's why some people on drugs just killing themselves. That's why so many people were shooting each other. Because it's so easy of the conditioning that we have that we do not look at ourselves as anything positive. And so if we can counter that, and that's what the books, People of Color in the Bible, Beginner Series, Volume 1, 2, and 3, which deals with health, that's why it was written just for that purpose. And that's what it did. It designed a program to show where we fit in ancient history and which we need to today. So we see these, I don't even know what to call these guys, these Hebrews panicking. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. That's verse 10. And they were so afraid, chapter 14, verse 10. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh. And that's what we heard, the crying. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt. Wow. And Moses said unto the people, verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. And Yahweh shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And so we know about the Red Sea opening and all of that good stuff. I just thought that was interesting, that that's what we would be saying. Now, once we're delivered from that, when we go to the next chapter, chapter 15, a very interesting situation occurs. We find out that, and then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto Yahweh. So we see them singing a song of victory, of happiness, because Yahweh is doing something straight for them. Now, when we get down to verse 27, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days, and this is 3 days after that, in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Meribah, for they were bitter, therefore the name of it is called Meribah. And the people murmured against Moses. This is 3 days later. You murmured, he just delivered you from Pharaoh. Now, 3 days later, Moses said, what shall we drink? And he cried unto Yahweh. And Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water was made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. And there he proved them. So do all of this, he's proving us and proving our character, trying to test us, trying to see, help us see what we are and who we are. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh that healeth thee. Now this is interesting, that Yahweh says that the diseases he put on the Egyptians, you know, those are the same diseases we have today, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes. Did y'all know that?
Well, I guess not, but now it all makes sense.
Yep, so we have to be very careful to see. Now, the laws that Yahweh has laid down, they're not difficult. And most of them, when we look at the seven principles of truth that we'll be looking at again, and as we talk about the nine laws of health, it only helps us to stay. I was speaking with some lady, and she was telling me, and she was saying that she has high blood pressure. She was 250 pounds. She's 5-something. I'm like, really? You know what, 5'4" or something? You two. She said her grandmother had high blood pressure diabetes. Her grandfather had high blood pressure diabetes. Her mama had high blood pressure diabetes. Her brother dies from high blood pressure diabetes. I'm saying, like, Dad, I said, it's just the food that you guys are eating. She said, yeah, but my grandmama was a vegetarian. Well, still something that was going wrong. And so I'm just looking at some of these places that they just, you know, generation after generation after generation, eating the same foods, living on the same lifestyle, not exercising, not, you know, following the nine laws of health, are always sick. And they dying in their 50s or sometime in their 40s. It depends on just how old they are. I mean, so it was like, wow, you're saying this is from generation to generation. You guys can't break it? Nope, we can't break it. And she's sitting up there with, you know, high blood pressure, She said, well, I'm controlling a little better. I watch what I eat. My mama, we grew up Muslim. They said they grew up as black Muslims. So they were, you know, had a diet. The diet wasn't optimum, but it was much better than the standard American diet. They didn't eat pork. And they ate a lot of beef. They said that they would cut a cow. They would eat a half a cow. Can you believe that? A half a cow. I said, my goodness. And they would have their bacon. So now she's addicted to bacon. Now she's addicted to pork stuff. Now she's addicted to the stuff she didn't get before. I'm like, wow. And she's wondering why she's sick. Can you believe that? And you know that African Americans have the highest rate of blood pressure, diabetes, and on these different machines and stuff, dialysis. And one person, she said that grandmom or somebody died. They just was on dialysis, and they finished it, giving them the dialysis, and they said they couldn't breathe, so they gave them some oxygen, and they blew their heart. No, it just blew up and died right there at the dialysis place. That's what I said. I said, dang. I mean, y'all got some serious issues, man. I mean, serious. I said, man, we can change your diet. I said, we can change your lifestyle. We can change it. And it was, oh, yeah, man, but I don't believe all that. No, you just believe what the drug doctors tell you and take the drugs, which they say they never heal. But I said, man, Yahweh's already written this down. You said you grew up Muslim, so you should be able to know what Yahweh is saying. But they're not interested. African American. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just, you know, interesting that these same diseases that Yahweh said he'll put on us, he's only going to put them on us if we're violating his laws. If we're not violating his laws, those diseases will not be on us. This is what he said. So understanding the laws, the natural laws that Yahweh has put into existence to rule and to control and to heal us, he says, I'm the one who heals you. And I'm the one who puts them diseases on you too. Because if you violate the laws, it's just like the law of gravity. You can't blame the law of gravity because you think you can fly like a bird and you jump out at, you know, a 10-story building and you find out that you can't fly. Yahweh ain't going to stop gravity for you. So we have to understand these laws that he had laid down as relates to hell so that as we practice them, then we can live in a healthy life. So anyway, that was one thing that I found. Then I went to Exodus chapter 33. Any comment before I move on to 33?
None. Oh, wait, I do have a question. You were talking you said the Egyptians, that this runs in the health issues ran all the way back to Egypt. Where are you getting that from?
Okay, the health issues. Wait. Say your question again.
You were saying like high blood pressure and diabetes and all that kind of stuff has run back through like the Egyptians, right?
Well, the Egyptians had high blood pressure. Yeah, they had different diseases. Yeah.
I'm saying where are you seeing that? Because I thought that's back when they were being. I don't know. Like I said, whenever you had said it, and you'd ask if anyone ever thought about that, and I said, no, not really. And then I was thinking more about it, and I'm like, I don't understand where you're seeing that or where you're getting that from. So maybe I missed it. I was brushing my teeth and stuff, but, you know.
No. The Bible said, what I just read to you said, that all the diseases that he put on the Egyptians, he will not put on you if you follow his statutes and his judgments.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Right, that's all he's saying. He says, and that's why I was saying, if we follow the nine laws of hell, if we follow what, you know, and he says follow the herbs, follow this different things, and he says these diseases won't come on you. But if you violate them, they're going to exist on you. And so that's what all I was saying was that this family, you know, was telling me that how they got it just running throughout their generations, at least 3 or 4 generations.
Yeah, and that happens, I mean, I think that happens. I mean, it happens all the time here, you know, in America, like the people that you're saying. I mean, especially in Black America, yeah, you see that a lot. You know, everybody, but the thing is, a lot of times Except for that lady you said, she said her grandmother was a vegetarian. I mean, normally it's just my grandmother cooked with lard and she made everything fried and we ate all kinds of, you know, meat. And that's just how she cooked, so that's how I'm going to cook for my family. And it's like, well, you know, you probably shouldn't do that.
Right, but remember, they ate a half a, they would cook, take a half a
yeah,
cow
yeah,
and eat them every year.
That's pretty dramatic.
People think she said that every meal, every day they would have either meatloaf or they would have a steak or they would have, but it's all of these things because they said they didn't eat the pig, so they would just every day. She said that she was sick of that lifestyle when she got older and she quit.
Yeah,
but she loved
crazy.
Pig now, and I'm like, really? Oh, I love bacon now. And you wonder what you said.
Even when we were, even as we were raised vegetarians and stuff, whenever we were able to eat meat, I think we probably all kind of like, you know, tried different stuff. I mean, I didn't try pork and beef for like, I don't know, I didn't try it for a long time because I was always scared that was going to like be really, really bad for me. And I, you know, obviously I don't eat that much at all. Like it's very rare if I eat anything like that now. I mean, but I think, you know, even us, starting out the good way, when we were able to go the bad way, we tried it and we're like, you know, this isn't right because now I'm getting fat or now I'm feeling sluggish or now, you know what I mean? My face is breaking out, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Yep, that's key. That's the key.
Yeah, so you can see a big difference. You can see a big difference with that.
What do you call a big difference? Because most people are listening. They don't know. They didn't grow up like you, so they don't see no difference because they've always been eating the same diet and they've always been sick.
I mean, a big difference in how you actually feel. Like, for example, for example, I go to the gym all the time, and if I don't go to the gym even for a day, I'll miss it. However, people who have just started going to the gym, they'll feel better. Like, yeah, you'll be tired or. Yeah, you'll be sore or whatever, but you feel good. You feel better. You know, like, it's just like, you know, you're not as tired. You're not as sluggish. Your body, you feel better. Even if you're, you know, still fat and you're working on losing weight, I mean, even when you go and do those things, you mentally feel better. And, of course, when you're eating stuff, like, if I eat anything like spaghetti with some kind of meat, it's like a ground turkey as opposed to a ground beef. But if I eat something that has a ground beef in it, I can, like, you know, like my body doesn't really like it. Like I can, you know, like you'll go through changes that aren't nice. Like, you know, you'll be gassy or something, you know what I mean? Or your body is just trying to get rid of it somehow, you know, or you feel sick to your stomach or when, you know, or you just feel really lazy. So you just want to lay down all day and lay all day, you know, and you know that you shouldn't be doing that. You need to get up and do stuff, you know, stuff like that. And when you're eating like, you know, live foods and you're not eating as much starch, because like I don't eat white bread, I don't eat white rice, I don't eat white, you know, I don't eat much, you know, stuff like that. It's very rare that I eat something like that. And if I do eat something like that, then I feel different. Like if I eat a bunch of rice, I just feel, you know, really sluggish when in reality I normally don't eat rice and I normally replace my rice with steamed vegetables or, you know what I mean, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, and whenever I first started, like, cutting back on rice dramatically, like, I just stopped eating rice for, like, a couple months. Like, just I didn't at all because I just, we were eating it. And you feel like in your head that you won't be full because you're not eating rice or you're not eating those fillers, you're not eating pasta. You know what I mean? Because people are like, oh, yeah, you know, rice is like it. But in your head, and it was funny, I even told someone, I was like, man, I feel like I'm going to be hungry all the time because I'm not going to be eating rice and starches and bread. Like, I'm not eating anything like that. And they're like, no, you're going to be fine. And I realized that now if I eat rice, like, I eat so much less because I just, you know what I mean? It's very heavy. But if you're used to eating all the time, then you eat a whole bunch of it. But whenever your body's used to you not eating bread all the time, not eating rice, not eating, you know, pasta, even if it is the green pasta, you know, because obviously, like, I don't eat white pasta, but, you know, anything like that, you can eat so much less because it's so heavy. And I don't think people realize it until they stop eating it, because even I didn't realize it. Like, it's really heavy. Like, I can't eat that. I can't even eat a cup of rice. Like, if you were to give me a cup of rice with, like, some gravy on it, I'd have a hard time to eat it unless I was really, really hungry. And a cup of rice isn't really that much to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, if you ask somebody else that, they'll be like, you know what I mean? You know, we go eat with people, whatever, and they literally fill up their whole plate with rice and then put more stuff on top. Like, I can never eat that. Like, that's just too much food for me, especially that it's rice. If it was a salad like that, then I could probably eat that because, you know, a salad isn't going to sit on your stomach like that. You know what I mean? So it's just a different feeling. People don't have an experience that feeling like church. I'm going to try it. Cut out bread and cut out rice and cut out pasta for a week and see how you feel. And then come up with different alternatives of what other things that you can eat, and you're just going to up your vegetable intake or, you know, whatever. You know, eat some chicken breast and, or eat some baked fish or something if you want to still go with meat, you know, which is totally fine, you know. It's cool. It's just everything that you eat doesn't have to be crap that you put into your body because, it's, I mean, obviously you're going to die early. You're going to be fat. You're going to be lazy. That's just what's going to happen.
Yep, you're right. Well, I'm glad that people can, you know, help but explain it to other people so they can understand, you know, that the laws that govern the universe, the laws that govern physics, the laws that govern nature, as we violate them, we, you know, we just destroy ourselves. And that's the same way with the planet. We were polluting it and killing it, and now we got an ozone hole. And now we're wondering why the climate is all crazy.
Yeah. I was reading something about with the permafrost, because you remember, like, after, you know, billions of years or whatever, thousands of years or whatever, then, you know, the earth, like, it freezes, you know, like, kind of like the mantle, the top part freezes over, you know, and it replaced and replaced and replaced. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it works, and that's, you know, that's how it works. But it was saying that since the global warming is going on and thing, like, permafrost and is thawing out now, so, like, a lot of the, like, the diseases and, you know, bad things, like sicknesses, you know, things like that are thawing out that we haven't even had to deal with because it all, you know, froze over and it was something that our bodies even dealt with ever. So now that could be something that we have to worry about, like how this year people were getting the flu like crazy. And it wasn't just the flu. It was like a super flu. And I think even last year people were getting it. But this year I noticed it a lot because a lot of people were getting, like, really sick. And they were getting really sick for, like, 2 weeks, you know, it wasn't just like a day or a weekend or whatever, like normal, you know what I mean? And even if they did or did not take the flu shot, I think they still got really sick. Because, like, for example, one of my friend's dad, he had to take off work for a month because he was, like, sick in the hospital, sick, but it was like a super flu, you know what I mean? So that kind of stuff is, if you're not taking care of your body, not taking care of yourself, then your body is less equipped to defend itself when things, you know, come around that you're not used to, or, you know what I mean, or when you're, you know, when everybody else is getting sick and I didn't get sick. You know, I had some sniffles or whatever, but, like, I never took off work, you know, but people were taking off of work and being gone for a while because they're just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was hearing that in my class. Yeah, a bunch of students were sick, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's happening everywhere. Like, it's happening here. It's happening up near you. It's probably happening near Jabari. You know what I mean? It's probably happening in California. Like, it's happening. It's not just one place. Like, oh, this is happening in Hagerstown. Like, it's not. It's everywhere. It's very strange, and it's interesting that you're seeing that, too. It's, you know what I mean? So if you care about your life, I feel like people would start treating themselves better because your body can only do what you allow it to do, and if you're not allowing it, giving it the tools to fight back, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. But most people don't think. I think you guys are thinking of your bodies and yourself and the foods that you eat and all of that differently than the average person. I think the average person who grows up in this society just look at food as just something that, you know, to glut down and whatever you like. Don't matter if it's chocolate, candy. You don't need a diet. You just need to eat some, you know, whatever you like. It's like, you know, you don't eat, you know, so that it can keep you alive. You just eat because there's just food to eat. And whatever you like, that's what you're going to eat. Not for any strength, not for substance, not for life, not for health. They just eat garbage. Because they say it tastes good. And you've been trained through McDonald's for the dollar menu. You've been trained for these different things. I remember I was at White Castle. Y'all don't know about no White Castle. It might happen in water.
Yes, we know about White Castle, and I had it once, and I think it's disgusting. But, yeah, okay. No, go ahead, though.
Yes, we know what White Castle is.
Oh, y'all do? Oh, wow. Okay. I grew up in New York. And so there was always White Castle in the white neighborhood. There was never a White Castle in the black neighborhood. So, and when I would go to the YMCA and become, you know, a swimmer and all of those type of things, junior lifeguard. So I would go down there and I would get, and do you know that they were like a nickel for a burger, which is a little sliver of meat and a whole bunch of bun. And then you can get a double one. And a cheeseburger was like 20 cents or 10 cents, you know. And I'm like, so you buy as much as you want of that stuff. But that was just junk. So now they talk about a dollar menu today versus a nickel or a dime or 10 cents, you know, burger. Now they talk about a dollar menu. And so people are doing the same exact thing. Just because it's cheap and it's supposed to be good and you like it and this, that, and the other, you think you like it, you've been conditioned, that we are just so conditioned to the standard American diet, the sad diet, that it's like we don't think of food like that. When I went in and grabbed that stuff, I didn't look at it that I was getting me subsidence. No, man, I was grabbing the cheeseburger for cheap, dirt cheap, 10 cents, 20 cents. You know, I'm getting me, you know, as many as I can. And that's it. So people are not looking at food as what would we call it? Food is really a it's something that you should be looking at as something that heals the body. Food is supposed to build up your body so that you can live and that you can have more health and you can have more strength and you can exercise more and you can run more and you can do things. But we don't look at food as a medicine, I guess, basically. That's what you can call it. Food as a medicine, we look at it as nothing. And, you know, the average person is just caught in that system and, you know, can't see. Did y'all know that? Have y'all noticed that when y'all talk to people of how they look at eating food and how you guys look at eating food?
I mean, okay, to a certain extent. But, I mean, I do realize that a lot of people eat when they're not hungry just to eat. And that's what you see all those TV shows with those people who are like 600 pounds because they just eat just because they're bored. They're not hungry. They're just bored. You know, people are like, when I sit down and watch TV, I have to eat something. I'm like, why? Just get a bottle of water and drink some water. I mean, if you're hungry, then do that. That's fine. Like, if you're actually hungry, but if you're not hungry, people are overeating is a big thing, and it's really common.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's why I said people are not looking at food as a medicine. They're looking at it as gluttony. So it's a so from that, if we look at it as food as something that is going to poison our system, like you were saying, I feel sluggish, it's poisoning my system, adding more toxins to my body, and I don't like it, and it's not good for me, versus, well, you know, that's the way food is. It makes me druggy. It makes me like that. So, but that's okay. Do you see the difference? Somebody lost something in the translation. Have y'all noticed that? That's how people are looking at food and how you guys are looking at food. Do y'all look at food as a medicine?
No, not really. I mean, I guess not truly, but I guess kind of like if, you know, if you're sick or whatever, you know, you would do your ginger tea and stuff or, you know, I mean, I guess maybe to a certain extent.
What about the rest of you all and your encounters?
It replenishes the body.
So is it a medicine to heal or destroy?
When I don't eat, I get grouchy. The other time when I don't eat, I'm drained. I just finished working out. I need something to recuperate, to revitalize, I guess you could say. So That's what I use it for.
Oh, okay. Are you on pay? Are you here with us?
She might be, but remember she got a bunch of things going on.
Okay, no problem, no problem. All right, so I was just mentioning that because this was a good time. That was a good place where that was going on. But people are rebellious against their diet and their health. People don't want to make changes. And they think it's a violation for you to talk to them about their health. And that's really, I was speaking to the lady and I was telling her, man, heck, I can hook you guys all up. Nah, man, nah, 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 nah. And sounds like, we good. We taking the insulin. We taking all these pills. She said, man, she was taking like 20 pills or something a day to keep down her high blood pressure and her diabetes and to keep it all under control. And I said, how can someone do that? How can someone spend all day doing that? Taking all these drugs and they're not healing you. They just acting, you know, you thinking that they're keeping it under control. You're not keeping anything under control. So I just thought that was strange. When it's real clear, the Bible says, as clear as day, that all of these diseases he won't put on you. Moses put, and none of these diseases will I put on you. So we just have to try to think of it from that perspective. That these things are medicines, the herbs, the food, the fruits. They heal. They're here to heal us. They're here to build us up. And that's what fruits do. Fruits cleanse the body, and vegetables heal the body. Exactly. The more we can look at it from that perspective, hopefully the easier it will be for us to get control over our intemperance. All right, well, that will be our study for the day. It's around 9. It's after 9 already, a little bit. So I just thought that was interesting. So I was, as I go through the scriptures, I'm finding all different type of things that are interest. So we'll, you know, cover it at another time. All right. Any comments or anything? Have you guys thought about how you guys were raised and how, do y'all think much different than the average person?
Sure.
People say they look at me like strange.
Hey, everyone has different philosophies on life, and just like Rahima said, that flu that went around recently. Yeah, I mean, it hit my office. It hit a lot of people. I didn't get sick. I was fine, and I didn't take enough flu shots this year, so I don't ever take a flu shot, to be honest. But there was plenty of people going through some stuff for the last couple of weeks. And wow. In reference to not eating rice, I love rice. So I think that's my, I don't eat a lot of meat, so I don't eat any meat really outside of seafood. So usually I kind of use rice as kind of like a filler. So of course I eat other things to go with it, but yeah, I need my rice. At least once a day.
And what type of rice? White rice, brown rice, black rice, wild rice?
I go with brown rice usually, but depending on where I go out to eat or what I have at the house or whatever, depending on what that is. But yeah, I usually prefer brown rice. But I use brown sugar. That's definite. But as far as rice is concerned, I mean, white rice, brown rice. Brown rice has more nutritious value to it, but I don't object to eating white rice when I go out to eat or do certain things.
All right. And so it's good for, you know, that you guys have been educated in a way that y'all have been, to look at life a little differently, so that it can, you know, once you go off the track, you can look back and say, hey, I'm way off the track. I need to get back. Versus those who've been off the track their whole life and think it's normal. I mean, I can't understand how a generation of people or family can be overweight, and then the next child is overweight and the children are overweight. How do you just continue to do that and think it's okay? You know, it's normal for us to have high blood pressure, diabetes, and, you know, But that's their conditioning.
It even happens in our family. You know, I mean, like, not our immediate family, but, you know, it's just, of course they think it's okay. They're feeding them the same thing that they're feeding themselves. I mean, I totally get it. I mean, I don't think it's the right way to think, but I get it. They're doing the exact same thing, and they don't feel like they're overweight, because the average size for a woman in America now is, as opposed to, like, I don't know, a 6 or something like it used to be, it's like a 14 or something. It's crazy. I don't remember. Something like, I'm like, what, really? Like, that's the average size for an American person. So a size 14 thinks she's average, and they're like, oh, well, you know, everybody shops in a plus size section. And I'm like, not really. I mean, but again, so it's normal to them. So I totally get it.
But that's a conditioning that we have, like, you know, as slaves, that we've accepted. And it's all right for us to kill ourselves if society says it's all right. So, yeah, we have to start thinking outside the box. We have a culture that we came through, even though we've lost it. We have to find it again. That's why the Bible says, you know, we got to go back to the laws and statutes, the different things that he has in the hidden world, in the visible world that we learn about. So when I deal with the... we are electrical beings. Hopefully we'll be able to see it a little clearer. But this is nothing but physics 101. But, you know, I heard some people said they never took physics. Did y'all all take physics?
Yeah, but I don't remember too much about it. It was a while ago.
Oh, that's good. They said that everybody didn't take it. Only the upper class people took it back in the day. You had to be, you know, on a super, you know, GPA or whatever, that they allow you to take physics and stuff like that. I'm like, wow. Interesting.
Well, I guess if you can't pass chemistry, then you can't move on.
Well, I mean, they're saying chemistry and physics, they're two different things, but they're both science, and they both require, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's definitely required for everybody to do chemistry. I feel like chemistry is a first class. I don't know, though. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've been in high school.
Oh, okay. Chemistry was required. Okay.
I think that was the first one. Like, the, you know, like the prereq kind of, and then if you did that, then you could get into physics and all that kind of stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm sorry, or Nigeria or somebody, if y'all know something else, I could be wrong.
Took so many physics classes that I don't want to talk about.
Physics 1, 2, 3, bro.
Too many science classes, personally. But, hey, that's what it is.
Other
with calculus.
like Dre, he had to take that. Like, he had to take physics and things like that. Like, he had to do more science classes, I think, than we had to. Like, I know we had a couple options on certain things. Like, we focused on, like, the math and the reading. And they focused on that, but they focused on, like, sciences and stuff. So to him, like, even a person, like you're saying, he thought it was for people that were, like, upper class or maybe the smarter kids, you know, or whatever, could get into that class. But for them, everyone would take that class.
Yep, depending on what was required. Yeah, you're right. All right, you guys. Any other comments, thoughts? If not, we'll offer up a word of prayer. Let me cut this off for a minute.